gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Music Lab Podcast. My name is Dog.
And I'm Mo. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We are here for another episode. And this episode, we're doing an album review of Arcade Fire. Arcade Fire. By way of Montreal, now living in New Orleans, Regine and Win Butler. Unfortunately, their brother departed the band just in the past month, but they are moving on. He obviously played on the album, but is not going to be touring with them going forward. But they wish him well, and it seems like it was an amicable, split.
But ready to move on with his life's work.
Correct.
Okay.
But Butler said in a recent interview, and I thought this was fascinating or profound, he said, and this was talking about making music, he said, "You have to be fearless to say something sincere." I think it's very, very true. Their sixth album, according to them, is about the forces that pull us away from the people we love and the urgent need to overcome them. Peter Gabriel joined them on an Unconditional Love 2 and was a big inspiration to Regine growing up. Nigel Goodrich produced this album, and Father John Misty was asked for his advice on the material after it was written. I don't know about you, but I wasn't taken aback like the world was when Arcade Fire came on the scene. It took me a while. They were like a fine wine. You know, I needed to age it first before I really appreciated it or appreciated them as a band. I didn't really get into them until after The Suburbs, I think. Or not after The Suburbs, after Reflector, after 2017. So your take and your
I had
feel on Arcade
I had
Fire.
Absolutely zero exposure to this band until we did this review.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I actually really like that sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. I think our audience likes that too, mm-hmm. because you definitely get a perspective from each of us.
So I thought, you know, just to give a quick, idea of how this album is laid out.
Yeah.
There are essentially one, two,
ten songs.
Three. There's four movements. Yeah. Within the song, and then essentially one single song that's kind of by itself, and then one sort of useless track that's 30 seconds long and nothing happens on. But
the prelude.
Yeah. I have no idea what was going on there.
Yeah.
But there are, in essence, four movements and then the Wii song tacked on at the end. But, the movements are very much sort of in tune with each other. And so it is definitely an album that you can't sort of just listen to a song from. You should really just kind of listen to the album. That was one of the things I liked about it. So let's just jump in.
Before we start, I recommend, and I've said this before on album reviews that we've done, this to me is a headphones album.
Mm-hmm.
It for you to really appreciate it. And I recommend doing the headphones like third or fourth listen. First two, listen to it in your car, just kind of get yourself acquainted. But
sure.
Headphones after that.
Yeah. Or just superior speakers if you have them.
Or superior speakers.
Or both.
Yeah.
So let's just dive right in.
Yeah, let's dive in.
So the very first track is the first part of Age of Anxiety. It's Age of Anxiety 1. Mm-hmm. I really, I like the heartbeat bass line and the sparse piano that starts this tune. But the synths and the drum machine give this song an 80s feel. I can almost see a montage from like a John Hughes movie. I like it. I especially like the melody in the pre-chorus, the part where he says, "And when I look at you, I see what you want me to." On the surface, this seems like a very simple song. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the background. And I found that throughout the whole album. And I think that's why you're saying listen to it on headphones. There's a lot of like background stuff going on, changes. And, yeah. and it's constantly changing. It's not like they keep doing the same thing each time.
Agree.
The interlude at about the 3 minute mark is totally 80s. I like how even though the song maintains the same chord structure throughout, it has very distinctive movements of melody that separate the song. So even though it clocks in at well over 5 minutes, it didn't feel like it was that long. So lyrically, fight the fever with TV in the age when nobody sleeps, and the pills do nothing for me in the age of anxiety.
If that was the lyric that I would have picked, that was, you know, that was the one. So well done, my friend. This song, I love the piano, and to your point, over the heartbeat drumming, and his soft voice enters. The tension builds with the strings momentarily. I love the ahs throughout, you know, sounds like the breaths, but, you know. And the bridge provides this dreamy moment, and it breaks. And break before it breaks into this 80s synth groove, like you said, and then into more familiar Arcade Fire territory as it charges toward the finish with a wall of sound before the statement he makes in the outro. Yeah, this song is a really, really great opener. It sets the tone for the album very nicely. Yeah, there are clinks, there's blips, and they're placed very, very
deliberately.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if that's Nigel Goodrich, it doesn't surprise me, but if it's the band itself and if it's him and Regine, because it sounds like, because, you know, like most bands, and we talked about this before the recording to this, a lot of these bands recorded and wrote music independently or by themselves, and they wrote a lot of this album by themselves in New Orleans. So it really, really sets the tone. Well done.
Yeah.
It moves
seamlessly then into Age of Anxiety 2. Mm-hmm. Again, we're still in the first movement.
And the rabbit
hole. This is called Rabbit Hole. Yeah. It's sort of given an extra name.
Yeah.
But the piano is super deep. And it seeps into you on this one. You know, the repeated yeahs are haunting and sleepy. The doubling up on the lead vocals as the lyrics come in are a neat trick. Then in the second chorus, the song builds up on the electric drums. And it moves this one again into the psychedelic world of the mid-80s. Even the lyrics allude to paragons of that most unique decade.
Yeah.
This is another song built upon all the little things happening in the background. It's not electronica, but it feels like the earliest forays into that trance-driven music that would move underground and burst out into the new millennia.
Like Kraftwerk? Yeah. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Yeah. And so...
like even Daft Punk early.
Regine's vocal refrain at the end is super sweet. I mean, these first two tracks are seriously, they seriously give me some of the most 80s nostalgia I've ever heard in modern music. It might be the synth sounds themselves, but they are extremely 80s sounds.
Yeah.
So lyrically, you know, as the lyrics say in the song, nothing ever can replace it. When it's gone, you still can taste it. And it's almost like they're singing that about the 80s and about the life that was lived then. And the music does it too. It's not just the lyrics. And that's what's so brilliant about these first two songs. In essence, it's this first song is that it does the things that it wants to do both lyrically and musically.
Yeah,
it attacks you from two different directions, and it really does. It lifts you up. It takes you back into that place. It masterfully done.
Yeah. I think the musical spacing in this song is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, like you said, I love how the piano is so definitive.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It just goes through you. It also, too, is we truly live in a rabbit hole, you know, with our phones and social media and this 24/7 lifestyle that, you know, that our economy has become. It's as the song takes off at the 122 mark, it makes you feel like you're in the rabbit hole falling. Mm-hmm. Like it really does. I love the drumming on this song, like I will say in most of these songs. And I like how they trade verses alone and then also sung together. My favorite lyrics, fell asleep to the television, yeah. Wake up sleepyhead, yeah. Acropolis is burning, yeah. In the poster over your bed, yeah. Age of Anxiety 2, Rabbit mm-hmm. Hole. Yeah, it just a continuation of a fantastic first song.
It keeps
the momentum going.
It really is, and it is. It's a movement. Yeah. So the first section here that we've just talked about is really, in essence, it's one.
Yeah.
One piece. And, you know, sometimes bands do that, and you're like, oh, these are two different songs. Just name them two different things. But with this album, no. They really are connected. And, in fact, if you're not paying attention – you know, in however you listen to it, that it changed the song, sometimes you don't even know.
You just think it's one big song.
You just think that it's still going.
Yep.
And so it is. It's brilliantly done.
Yep.
Now, the next song is called Prelude, but it's really just a couple of big drum cracks and some thunder.
And noise. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even qualify it as an instrumental. I have nothing to say about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, tack it onto a song, put it on at the end, put it in the front.
Yeah.
And maybe they did it so we would talk about it, and we are talking about it. So there it is.
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, yeah. So the next song begins the second movement, which is End of the Empire. So the first part of it is called End of the Empire 1 through 3. All right. Now, I really like the melodies throughout this song. And, you know, you see why it's 1 through 3 as you listen to it, because there are, again, so many melodies stacked onto this music. This is a very melancholy tune, you know, and it's a song that would really be completely at home on a Radiohead album, both musically and lyrically. It's this soaring song that takes you on an emotional roller coaster. And all the different movements are really so well put together. There are a lot of parts of this song that remind me of something by the Polyphonic Spree also.
Mm.
You know, sort of that just like, I don't know, that emptiness. Especially the part where it goes, and we know that it's time to go. This is a super throwback style and way further back than the 80s sound of the first two tracks. You know, this song took this album to another level. It's like, especially after Prelude, I was like, really? And then all of a sudden this song hits you and you're like, okay, I'm back in it, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. This song is like, will crack you in the face.
Yeah. Again, the piano and his soft voice are a perfect match for what's called the last dance, which comprises the first 2 minutes and 35 seconds of the song.
Mm-hmm.
It has a Beatles feel to it. It's moving and sweeping, and it's grandiose, with the strings providing the icing on this cake. Last Round starts off feeling Queen and morphs into David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of your Radiohead, like
yeah.
the middle kind of section of the song, or were you thinking more of the beginning?
You know, it was really sort of just
the entire song.
The entire song.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Yeah. But with them both singing over a minute in length until Leave the Light On ends the song in more dreamy fashion. I love how this song ends. My favorite lyrics, ladies and gentlemen, it's you and I, it's do or die. Suicide mission, baby by my side. We got one life and half of it's gone. You know I can't sleep with the television on.
It's yeah,
so good.
It is. It is. Yeah. And so then it trans forms into End of Empire 4, which is, you know, given another name again, kind of like the second part of the first movement.
Right.
This is called Sagittarius A. And as the title suggests, this song is really just part of the last song, right? And it's an epic tune. But again, there are so many things going on in the background on this song.
Yeah.
You know, these tunes have so many levels. And, you know, it's more interesting and compelling melodies throughout this whole thing. You know, these two songs have, you know, two songs. It's really just one song.
Yeah.
This song extended, they have a very scathing view of the current state of our civilization. You know, and it really does a fairly decent job in this song of sort of outlining, you know, some of the major problems that we have as a group, you know, and I mean that in the largest sense imaginable. You know, but there are so many things to unpack in this section, both lyrically and musically. And this is the third band comparison that I'm going to give on this one section.
Sure.
But the whole thing together feels almost Pink Floyd-y. You know, just in the way that it's done.
The concept.
Yeah, almost like the Wall Pink Floyd. You know, it's just like, it's sort of just like, it's almost like this child cranking its neck at, you know, some horrible thing that it's seeing. I don't know. This,
do you think they're speaking more about the world or more about the United States?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And when I say yes, I mean yes to both things.
Okay.
You know, like, again, it's just this idea that our civilization, you know, as it stands, you know, I think they tried to make it about that, but it really is just about everything. It's about...
Yeah, and I think we're a global economy now. So, you know, I think Western influences...
Well, and remembering, of course, the influence of America on the world cannot be understated.
Absolutely. Musically, either. Yeah. Either. Yeah.
So I think, you know...
We digress.
Yeah. we do often. Yeah.
End of the Empire 4. This segues right from the left, from the previous song. And I love his statement of I unsubscribe. Because like I said earlier, you know, we're the rabbit hole that we're on all the time with our phones, social media, you know, this 24/7 economy. I like that he started the song with that statement. You know, like, I'm tired. Like, I'm just done with the rat race. Like, I'm done with the vicious cycle. Like, I like that statement. And again, as the piano is gently played with the saxophone as a retort, that saxophone is so well done. The call and response in verse 2 and in verse 4 are so well done. And again, the lyric that I picked, and I guess probably represents what you were talking about the most in this song, your heroes are selling you underwear and little white pills for your despair. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I got. The Lightning One.
So,
your thoughts.
So now we're moving into the third movement.
Yes.
Okay.
Not the bowel movement.
And, you know, if I had to choose a movement that was my favorite, this is my favorite one. And I liked a lot of it, but this was the one I liked the most. This song starts off a bit more optimistic, with a little more drive. It's a welcome change after, you know, the end of the Empire in terms of, like, the feel of it all.
Yeah, yep. And even the concept, too.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's more optimistic, and I think that's one of the reasons I ended up liking it a little bit more.
And is this where they transition from the I to the we, or was that before End of the Empire? I forget how it broke down.
Yeah, I don't. I wasn't paying that close attention to that specific thing.
That's fine.
But, you know, I really don't mean that in a bad way when I say it's a welcome change. You know, it's just a good switch, because I really liked the End of the Empire. But, you know... The Lightning One, the first part of it, it's that 80s synth is back. It's that 80s feel, you know, with, again, good melodies and well syncopated lyrics, and I'm going to give you some. We were born in paradise, beneath the poisoned sky, under a bad sign, the micro age of Gemini. And we are still unlearning, tires are burning in the middle of Rodeo Drive. You know that we've been beat down and broken, but now we can testify. Maybe. I mean, just the syncopation of it all, too, and the way that it's delivered, it's brilliant.
Hopefully an ode to a Rage Against the Machine with a testify there.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
See, that's, you got it for the Lightning?
That was, you're yeah, Lightning okay. One. That was so, Lightning One. Yeah.
For me, this song begins like a Decemberist song. It's It has a Decemberist feel to it.
Okay.
And then the strings kick in, and you immediately know this is an Arcade Fire song. It's that classic sound that, you know, I've come to, you know, that you would not recognize, you know, because you're not familiar with them. The positive message in the chorus and how they build up musically before the chorus starts is brilliant. Both, like, in between the verse and the chorus, like, that musical part is just brilliant. And then, of course, the thunderous ending, with a little bit of a Bruce Springsteen, I felt, kind of feel to it. Like E Street Band, you know, kind of rocking, you know, that leads into The Lightning 2. What do you got?
So The Lightning 2 takes a song that's already, you know, more optimistic than what we've gotten. And, it speeds it up a little bit. It gives it some bass.
Gives it a little cocaine.
Some drums. Yeah. You know, it just steps it up a notch. I really like the transitions in this tune between the lyrical lines. There's, you know, again, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it keeps changing. Lyrically, I heard the thunder, and I thought it was the answer. But I found I got the question wrong. I was trying to run away, but a voice told me to stay. Put the feeling in a song. Yeah. I mean, that as a songwriter, those lyrics really spoke to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's great, great lyrics. Again, though, for me, another fantastic drumming song and a hard-charging, frenetic song. This song probably will sound amazing live.
Oh, yeah. That whole movement. Yeah. That whole movement, yeah.
I love how they switched the wording in the chorus of lightning and what will light bring. Mm-hmm. Like, just subtle, but very well done. And it really brought out then each line of that because it was changed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I got for
it's
the
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So then we're finally moving into the fourth movement. Mm-hmm. All right. The fourth movement is called Unconditional. So Unconditional 1 is subtitled Lookout Kid. This feels like a Paul Simon song. Just the way the acoustic moves and the way the lyrics are placed and what they say. This is another more optimistic track, both musically and lyrically. It builds nicely throughout. The layers and changes are brilliant. The orchestration mid-song gives it such a nostalgic feeling. It's partially the instrument voices that are used, but it's also the way it's all put together. And that's my fourth comparison to another group in how many songs. Lyrically, a lifetime of skinned knees and heartbreak comes so easy, but a life without pain would be boring. And he is speaking very specifically, in my mind, to a very specific group of people.
Well, to his son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I meant. Yep. He's speaking to young people, possibly about a lesson that some generations haven't learned. And
I agree.
And I think, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, I think the success of a society can breed that. And so this song, again, you know, that comment that you, or that quote that you had of him from the very beginning, where he said it takes a lot of courage to.
He said, you have to be fearless to say something sincere.
Yes. Yeah. This song, Lookout Kid, is as sincere as it gets. Yeah. It really is. And it's well done.
It is. It's a song about their son with heartfelt lyrics. And again, a fantastic job of musical spacing in this song. I love how the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do's separate and allow a pause before the grandiose kicks in. It really, really just sets the table so nicely. This song brings out so many emotions for me personally. It's a really powerful song. And if you're a father or if you're a mother, if you're a caregiver at all, this song is going to, you know, touch you. And I like too that in the midst of all of, you know, that powerful, you know, stuff going on, he provides kind of a life lesson about the pointless pursuit of our own idea of perfection, you know, because he kept saying, you know, you don't have to be perfect, you know. It's well done.
You know, in the society we live in today where everything is public, you know, again, he's saying some very
biting
and scathing reviews of the current way that we live. Mm-hmm. And he's not wrong, or they are not wrong.
Right.
So it moves into Unconditional 2, which is subtitled Race and Religion. I really liked Regine's vocals in the intro. I thought it was a nice change up, even for this song. And because, again, this is the second part of Unconditional. And, you know, it moves it right back into the 80s in its delivery.
Oh, yeah, it did.
And instrumentation. I mean, what is more 80s? What is more 80s than Peter Gabriel?
I know.
Let's be honest. And Peter Gabriel sings in the background on this song. And you have to listen because it's more of like an echo.
Yeah, it's so disappointing.
Why?
Like give him a verse or like, no. like it was very hard to decipher.
It's almost like John Lennon in David Bowie's Fame.
I disagree.
Let me finish what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
I love the parts of this song that have nothing but percussion and the voice. Yeah. There's a lot of emptiness, and at the same time, there's that 80s,
you know, undertone.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Boom, you know, like it gets it down. All right, Devo would have loved this song, but lyrically, it's joy and it's union, your sense of rhythm. How you take communion. Yeah. It's a door to the divine. It's the moonlight on a landmine.
That's a great line.
All right, you may commence your complaining about Peter Gabriel now.
No, it's not a complaint. It's just a disappointment. Like, if you're going to have Peter Gabriel on a track that's completely in his wheelhouse, I mean, like you said, at least give him a verse. At least give him some harmony. It was just... like you really had to decipher because Wynn sings on this song as well. Mm-hmm. Like they, you know, it's, that's all.
If you weren't paying attention or you didn't know that he was supposed to be on
you
it,
would
have no idea he was even on the track.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant, but
to the song itself, cool drumming again in the beginning that morphs into this 80s showcase that was kind of touched on in Age of Anxiety 1 for Regine. Again, disappointing on the surface with these heavyweights together. But I do like how the bridge was more of an 80s march as it slowed down. Mm-hmm. And then toward the end with the atmospherics. But this was the least favorite song of mine on the album.
Wow.
You know, by far. Not even close.
Mine was Prelude.
God. Well.
You dirty dog. Yeah. Sorry.
Let's move on to We.
We is the only song other than Prelude that is sort of its own song.
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't have a friend. It's not bringing a date.
Right.
And when I listened to it, I kind of imagined, I wonder if this was the first song that they wrote in the project. It's the first thing that they realized in it. And then they tacked it on the end to kind of like sum everything up that they were trying to say. Yeah. I have no idea if that's real. I'm making it up, but that's my guess. So the acoustic guitar that comes in is a really nice contrast after the electronica dance feel of the last tune, or at least the second half of the last tune. You know, it's got this nice chill melody with that relaxed voice. You know, these lyrics kind of summed up how I felt about the coming, or how I felt after the coming to the end of this album, the lyrics here that I'm going to give you. When everything ends, can we do it again? When everything ends, want to do it again?
Want to do it again? Yeah. So, Saturday Night Rock.
Yeah, there you go, baby. All right. What do you got?
Yeah, for me, acoustic guitar with a beautiful melody. And I liked that he didn't note there was no chorus in this song. It was all verses. After verse 2 and verse 3, the piano creeps upward and more atmospherics. Another pause, which again, just another well-done musically spaced song. Another pause before the outro crescendos with the strings and just his voice. My favorite lyrics in this song, already know I want to know we. Would you want to get off this ride with me? Mm-hmm. I mean, after listening to this album, I would get off this ride with him too.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yep. So final thoughts, my friend. What did you
think? Do you want me to give mine first?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So, you know.
You always like the front row on the roller coaster. I'm more of a third row guy.
I don't really care about. I mean, I do like front rows on roller coasters, although some are better in the back row.
That's true.
Anyway, you know, as I was writing my final thoughts and pondering everything I had listened to, I kept thinking of one of my favorite quotes by Blaise Pascal, because it really just applies to this whole project. And the quote is, despite the sight of all the miseries which affect us and hold us by the throat, we have an irrepressible instinct which bears us up. And, you know, I didn't have any preconceived notions about how I would feel about this album. I recognized the name Arcade Fire, but other than thinking it was a cool name, I hadn't listened to a single note of their music until I reviewed this album. And so right. I must admit, I did not think that this kind of music was being made anymore. And let me be clear about what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. I mean music that really looks deeper into the human condition, both musically and lyrically, and does so in such a way that both pulls the listener down into the depths of despair, but then again lifts them up to soar above the stratosphere. I went through a myriad of emotional states while listening to this album. You know, the depths of the music, layers upon layers. These songs were well thought out and arranged, but the voices were also very compelling and heartfelt in their delivery. There were a few moments within the project where I thought it might become ideologically preachy, which I utterly loathe. But they always turned away at those moments and steered it back on the road of self-reflection, which I much prefer. This was a tremendous effort. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to this album. You know, as I said within the review, I was often reminded of other bands that have similar offerings in style and delivery. But nothing ever felt copied. It didn't feel like they were trying to emulate someone else. They just ended up coming off like that because some of the things that they did were so well done, they reminded me of other great bands that did it before.
Yeah.
I highly recommend this album. Like, put on the headphones, like Dog said, and just kick back. It is outstanding.
Yeah, a headphones album for sure. And it's a definitive statement to the world, not just in lyrics and topic, but the emotion this album brings. After the third or fourth listen, as you're dancing, you're nodding your head, and you're feeling this music. I mean, you feel this music. Well done. Well done. You know, when I even look at the favorite tracks, I'm not even going to say favorite tracks because really everything I enjoyed except Unconditional 2, Race and Religion. So, I mean, I, you know, throw the other.
He even liked Prelude, apparently.
I mean, I guess for the musical spacing, just to give my mind a break.
See, I really liked Unconditional too. I think the only reason you don't like it is because you were expecting more Peter Gabriel and you didn't get it.
Yeah, but the song itself was the weak. I felt was the weakest, and maybe I don't even know if Peter Gabriel could have saved it. You know, even with just a verse. You know, I just didn't like the music. I don't know.
Subjective.
It just felt like it didn't fit of the movements or however we want to call them. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like that was not the A plus B.
Yeah.
Like.
It didn't make my final cut for favorite
tracks.
What's your
favorite?
I chose End of Empire 1 through 3.
Yep.
The Lightning 1 and 2, just because those songs in particular are really one song. And the Unconditional 1, Lookout Kid.
Yeah. I would say Lookout Kid definitely would be, but
yeah, I mean this album is give it a listen, you know. Yep. Come on to, you know, social media or YouTube or whatever and complain to Dog that he doesn't know what he's talking about Unconditional 2. Yeah. You know,
tell me
that I'm an idiot for not liking Prelude, you know, and that there's something in there that I missed, you know, some major like thing. But really, you know, listen to the album.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're an Arcade Fire fan like the Dog or new coming to them like me, you're going to like this. Yep. If you like music, and I mean that in a larger umbrella, you know, if you like more than one style of music, check this out. You are going to like this. Again,
yeah, acoustic guitar, piano, both, I mean, 80s.
Yeah, and like, again, both musically and lyrically.
It's
assaulting you. Yeah. And I mean that in all the best ways. It's really just at you.
It's a joy to listen to.
It is. It's good. So we hope that you enjoyed our review. Yeah. We would appreciate if you listened to the album or if you're a fan of the band to, you know, comment on, you know, some of the things we said. Give us some of your own opinions about these songs or about the album as a whole. But do yourself a favor and definitely listen to it. It is worth your time. And we thank you so much. For, you know, hanging out with us again.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that
you know,
was a lot of fun.
It's always fun, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. All right. So we're gonna send you over to our sponsors. We really appreciate you hanging out. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget, you know, to check us out, you know, at roosterstone.com/themusiclab. And don't forget to be good people. All right.
Yeah.
Peace. One love.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here at Rawr Outfitters, we are an independent, family-owned clothing company for all ages. Check out our inventory of shirts and hoodies at www.rawroutfitters.com and follow our social media pages. Don't just wear...
Come on over to roosterstone.com, where you can book the band for any event you can imagine. Acoustic, full band, whatever your event may require. You can also email us to take online music lessons at an affordable monthly price. Don't forget to download our original music and like, follow, and subscribe to Rooster Stone across all social media platforms. Keep rocking out at
roosterstone.com.